Hi, it's me, Greg Kelly. This is the podcast. Wow, some intense days around this house and around my office, and that's great. All is well. Things are very interesting right now in America and also in my life. And what's happening? Well, number one, this podcast, a TV show and a radio show and a Twitter account that seems to have lost its edge. Have you noticed that? Someone's running it for me. I'm working on that. I'll get it back soon. And that's great. That's fine. What's going on? Well, I just met with President Trump. What an amazing experience. What a very interesting guy. I love the guy, all right? I like the style. I like the substance. And I think he is, I think he's just an amazing, interesting, compelling, once-in-a-thousand-year type historic figure. And people are going to be studying this for a long, long time to go. And a force for good, a force for greatness. I think he can really turn this country around. I know there are people out there who don't agree, and they have an issue with the demeanor, perhaps. If you do, and look, I get that. He's not everybody's cup of tea, but look, do you really want open borders? Do you really want drag queens hanging around schools, huh? You want a war that goes on forever overseas that hasn't really been spelled out for us? Do you want America losing to China? Do you want our prestige internationally to be at this level, zero? I don't. And somebody pointed out, like, the 1970s and the 1980s, we were number one, you know, indisputably. And right was right, wrong was wrong. This is an insane moment. It really is. And I think most people know it. Too many people who know better are going along with this insanity. So, hey, by the way, Tucker, wow. So Senator Chuck Schumer yells and screams about Tucker Carlson and Fox News. And Fox News responds by getting rid of the irritant that the Democrats wanted off the scene. Now, it's only made him stronger, of course, all right? Much, much stronger. And I like Tucker a lot. I consider him an ally. And actually, I interviewed him a while back, and I'll have a little bit of that in a moment. But first, I want to talk about D'Espresso LeBaire coffee, all right? Now, what makes America uniquely American? For the time being, these things still apply, unless we are totally overwhelmed with wokeness. But hard work, self-determination, and individual liberty. You know, at D'Espresso LeBaire Coffee, they say freedom does not brew itself. Freedom doesn't brew itself. I love that. D'Espresso LeBaire Coffee is where you should get your coffee. Enough with Starbucks. Enough with Joe's Coffee. Gregory's Coffee in New York. It's a fine coffee place, actually, but I don't like their coffee. I like their vibe, but I don't like their coffee. D'Espresso LeBaire, though, I love it. And it was founded by a Green Beret about 10 years ago. He developed a dedication to crafting outstanding brews after multiple deployments. D'Espresso LeBaire Coffee is 100% Arabica coffee sourced from the finest coffee farms from around the world. It's roasted fresh in-house once they receive your order, okay? They pull it together just for you. The D'Espresso LeBaire experience starts from the moment you open the package. It is an amazing aroma. Man, it's addictive. I love it. And I'm no coffee connoisseur, I will grant you that, but I can tell you that the D'Espresso LeBaire coffee is out of this world. It's tasty, it's full-bodied, it's smooth. It gives me a delicious jumpstart to my day, rich in flavor and American values. D'Espresso LeBaire coffee encourage us all to sit down together and unite with fellow patriots to celebrate our God-given rights. So, if you want to wake up every morning to a savory, micro-roasted cup of coffee that supports quality coffee farmers, America's special operations community, and our great country, visit D'Espresso LeBaire. That's D'Espresso LeBaire. D'Espresso LeBaire. Okay? D'Espresso LeBaire. D-E, then espresso, then LeBaire, LIBER.com, for liberty, all right? Latin. D'EspressoLeBaire.com, They're veteran-owned. It's not some multinational corporate conglomerate. I have about had it with those people, all of them, and their woke agenda. I am so over it. I like a company where if something went wrong or something went right, you're like two phone calls away from talking to the boss of the whole operation, okay? Try calling up Starbucks and see what happens, okay? DiEspressoLaBear.com, DiEspressoLaBear.com, veteran-owned, family-run business whose brew tastes as good as it will make you feel. And remember, freedom doesn't brew itself. So about a few days ago, I got a call from the boss, actually a text message. Can you be in Florida to interview the president the day after tomorrow? President Trump, that is. And I knew I had 10,000 things to do and would have to do to make that happen, but no problem, sir, yes, sir. And I was anxious and excited to actually sit down with President Trump. I've interviewed him about a half dozen times, but they were all over the phone. Well, yes, they were all over the phone. This was my first face-to-face interview with him, although I've met him over the years. Several times, actually. The first time I ever met him was in 1987. Back at a book party for, The Art of the Deal. It was open to the public right there in Trump Tower. And a bunch of us went down from Fordham University. We took the, I guess it would have been the 4 train to 59th Street. Anyway, what a week. So I have to get myself down there for this big assignment to interview the president. Now, anytime that happens, everything starts getting tense, all right? It's a big assignment, and everybody kind of starts, freaking out a little bit, all right? People outside the company, a couple of people inside the company, that's fine. That happens no matter what, no matter what firm it is. If there's something that's high viz that you don't do very often, people get excited. And if you're not careful, it can trip up your performance. It can trip up your preparation. And I don't talk about this all the time, but one thing I reverted back to was the very first time I landed on an aircraft carrier. Now, in a jet, you have to learn first how to fly the jet, how to take off, how to land. And you do this all on land with a 10,000-foot runway. Flying formation, more aggressive maneuvering, bombing, all this stuff. And then one day it's time to go to the ship, to go to an aircraft carrier, to land for the very first time on an aircraft carrier. And quite frankly, once you get to the ship, there's nothing that you do that you haven't done before, except where you're landing. That's new. But the procedures to get to the ship, to actually land on the ship, they're identical to what you did on land. So I realized that there were only about 15 seconds of that whole operation that would be totally different, at least in look, not in actually muscle activity or anything like that, but it would look different. I'd be behind a ship instead of approaching a runway to land. And there was, so 15 seconds, actually shorter than that, like 12 seconds. And I could handle that. I could handle managing 12 seconds when I got to those 12 seconds. I realized it's only 12 seconds. I'll either do it or I won't. I'll either succeed or I won't. Worrying about it ahead of time will not help, will not make me better during those 12 seconds. In fact, it will probably make me worse during those 12 seconds. So you just say, I am going to focus on the here and now and what I actually have to do right now. And no one else's thoughts or opinions and it just kind of calmed myself. I calmed myself. And because it really is no big deal. When you think about it, you're sitting down with a man, all right, and you're asking some questions. And coming up with the questions is not hard. I did it basically on the plane going down there, all right? There are some questions you have to ask, news of the day, and then there are some questions you want to ask, and then there are some questions that, I don't know, just hold in reserve, just in case. More like, there are some questions you have to ask, news of the day, and then somebody else, you know, might have a suggestion or two, and sometimes you have to ask those questions. And then you got to have a little category for the questions that you want answered, the ones that you find particularly interesting. And I had all those ready, no big deal. Sat down, finally actually hung around Florida for about a day and a half before the big moment. And on my way over to Mar-a-Lago, the call comes in that Tucker Carlson has been let go by Fox News. And let's talk about that for a moment. What a sham, huh? I mean, number one, he's a great broadcaster. When I say sham, what do I mean by that? Well, the government, I do believe, called for his termination. Chuck Schumer and Mitch McConnell and a bunch of Republicans and Democrats, but Chuck Schumer most of all, yelled and screamed, and it was just last month, that Tucker Carlson needs to be condemned for what he did, and what he did is unforgivable, and Fox News is inciting an insurrection. Like, what is he talking about? And what was that all about? It was about the footage that he played earlier in March from January 6th, the footage that we had never seen, the footage that shows the horns guy being escorted around the Capitol by Capitol Police, shown the way right into the U.S. Senate, it appeared. What was that all about? Why didn't they arrest him? Why were they cooperating with him? Where were they bringing him? Why were they so nice to him? Why did he walk by nine cops, nine armed officers, and not one of them did anything? What? The video is unbelievably curious, all right? I mean, curious. I was flabbergasted, all right? There's something going on. This is something. I do believe that people were let into the Capitol. The doors were left open. They wanted them to come in so that not that the electoral count would be stopped, but the objections to the electoral count could be stopped. That's what it was all about. They did not want that debate taking off. They had to stop the debate, not the counting. There's a difference. Does that make sense? According to the Electoral Count Act of 1887, you are, as a member of Congress, allowed to object, and if you put it in writing and if you get a senator to join you, everything stops and that's debated, all right? And debated. Part of the debate, you could possibly come up with solutions, like we have to send this back to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. They got to get it sorted out. We're not prepared to certify this. We're not prepared. No, under the Constitution, and different people can disagree about this. We have a Supreme Court. People disagree about what the Constitution means all the time. Anyway, what Tucker found was totally earth-shattering, totally game-changing, right? And I went nuts with it myself. I played it like crazy on the Newsmax show. And listen to this. I actually showed more footage than all of Fox News combined. Media Matters, I'm going to read right from their website here. Greg Kelly reports Newsmax's flagship show provided the most promotion of any program with more than 37 minutes of coverage, a total exceeding what all of Carlson's Fox colleagues provided combined. Kelly lauded Carlson's effort and hammered Fox for not treating it as a big story. Tonight, we're grateful for what Tucker Carlson did, Kelly said during his March 7th broadcast, adding that Carlson's work blows up the Democrat narrative of that day. After spending several minutes sharing the information, more like it, Kelly attacked Carlson's colleagues for not giving the story sufficient attention. Tucker's own network, Fox News, is ignoring probably the biggest story they've had in maybe 20 years since a correspondent entered Baghdad with coalition troops. He called out the hosts of Fox and Friends for having no interest and ignoring the huge news that everybody at Fox is talking about, adding, "What are they, jealous?" Quite possibly so. I guess they have bosses. Fox seems to be totally traumatized by Trump, and they want to stop him, and they're trying to do that in big ways and small, all right? First of all, he's never on air over there, okay? They've essentially banished him, and they're promoting the hell out of Ron DeSantis. And if you look at the midterms, they were so eager to show that Ron DeSantis was the new man, the victor, right? Right away, that election, 9 o'clock, there he is with his wife, right? And then the way they handled all the Trump endorsed candidates. Ooh, Dr. Oz lost. It was just the tenor of it and trying to hang it all on Trump. I think this is the wish of the oligarchs who run not only Fox News, but most of America these days. They can't handle Trump. I really don't. Well, jealousy is part of it. Jealousy, back to jealousy. They're jealous of the guy, especially billionaires, all right? He's not as rich as this billionaire or that billionaire. They hate that about him. And they also hate that he did what they probably wanted to do, and he is popular. The people love him. And quite frankly, even if you don't love him, if you find him offensive, if you don't like the look, the tweets, whatever it is that bothers you about Trump, hey, do you like open borders? Seriously, look at that situation, huh? What about drag queens hanging around with kids? I mean, that's insane. You know, I actually asked him during the interview, I said, you could reach out to the left. Couldn't you reach out to the left? Because I do think that his message is an American message that could appeal to all Americans. And he said, well, there are certain things that, you know, we're not going to compromise. The border, the open border, and this transgender mess, and it really is a mess. And how can you compromise on that? How can you? So, it was a fabulous conversation, and the Tucker thing, though, is bothering me a lot. Now, listen to this. Listen to this guy. This is Chuck Schumer going crazy last month. This is the most senior member, or I'm sorry, he has the most authority. He's the majority leader of the United States Senate, complaining about a private citizen engaged in constitutionally protected free speech. Go.
Last night, millions of Americans tuned in to one of the most shameful hours we have ever seen on cable television. By diving deep into the waters of conspiracy and cherry-picking from thousands of hours of security footage, Mr. Carlson told the bold-faced lie that the Capitol attack, which we all saw with our own eyes, was somehow not an attack at all. To say January 6th was not violent is a lie pure and simple. I don't think I've ever seen a primetime cable news anchor manipulate his viewers the way Mr. Carlson did last night. I don't think I've ever seen an anchor treat the American people and American democracy with such disdain. Fox News, Rupert Murdoch, tell Carlson not to run a second segment of lies. You know it's a lie. You've admitted it's a lie.
And what's the matter with this guy? What is the matter with him? Why are they so defensive? Well, we're getting warm about January 6th. And maybe about the election. I have doubts about the election. This is still a free country, right? You're allowed to say that? I cannot prove myself personally, technically, that the election was stolen. I strongly suspect as much. But I can't prove it. I don't have the technical ability. I can't. I can point out that the election in Pennsylvania was downright illegal. There is a Commonwealth constitution for the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, and they threw it all out. They violated the law, came up with all kinds of new procedures that were not lawful. And you could vote. You're supposed to vote absentee or absentee with excuse. No, I'm sorry, in person or absentee with excuse. And they said you can vote in one of a million different ways, okay? You don't need an excuse. You can vote here, you can vote there, it doesn't matter. And that's a problem. That's a real, here's your ballot if you need help. I mean, no way. Bad election. And we're allowed to say that for the time being, all right? And Tucker making them very, very uneasy, but here's what happened, all right? They try to kill him, and obviously he's more powerful than ever before, all right? He is more. That one video, what is it up to? 250 million views at this point. Everybody in the country has seen it. Oh, and I particularly like this part.
When honest people say what's true, calmly and without embarrassment, they become powerful. At the same time, the liars who've been trying to silence them shrink, and they become weaker. That's the iron law of the universe. True things prevail. Where can you still find Americans saying true things? There aren't many places left, but there are some, and that's enough. As long as you can hear the words, there is hope.
You hear that? I strongly suspect that he was talking about me, Newsmax, because of that stuff I told you about a little while ago, that I played and showed more of the footage that he uncovered. Speaker McCarthy gave it to him on about January 6th and his entire network combined. They're all holding their nose about it, all right? So look, Tucker is bigger than ever before. He could be president of the United States someday, not in 2024, maybe 2028, maybe vice president in 2024, who knows? Or he'll start up some major news operation of some type, or he's going to fade away. I doubt it. I doubt it very much. I hope that doesn't happen. But in its own way, I kind of wasn't totally surprised. I mean, just forget about the pressure, forget about the government, forget about, but at some point, like the show, he had done almost everything there is to do on the show. You know, he goes from interviewing the president one night to interviewing, Elon Musk the next. I didn't get to see the show as much as I would have liked because I'm involved in my own programming or whatever. I will say this, my book, which is still available, oh, by the way, Justice for All, How the Left is Wrong About Law Enforcement. I had a commitment that Fox would let me come on, and Tucker was very apologetic in that I could not go on, and it's because of, Fox management did not want that to happen. There are competitive impulses over there, and Newsmax is still seen as a threat, absolutely, and they're right to think that. Oh, by the way, they certainly are. We'll see how all this shakes out. I think, it's amazing, though. They try to take out Trump. They arrest him. He becomes more popular. They cancel Tucker Carlson's show. He becomes more popular. I love that. And that's why I think truth tellers, I think our side, we are on a roll, all right? Sometimes these things it takes like months, years, decades before something good happens from something bad. And, that was almost instantaneous. And oh, by the way, if you want to go back, something good from something bad, it reminds me of my friend Harry Lorraine, a great memory expert / magician. He died about 2 weeks ago at the age of 93, and it was such a pleasure to know him. I met him several times. I learned a lot of his techniques. I read a few of his books, and I did a podcast with him. Ooh, when was that? It's a while back. If you search for it, Harry Lorraine, Lorraine. Let me double check that spelling. And he talks about that, how so many bad things in his life led to great things. And that's Lorraine, one R. Harry Lorraine, Lorraine. And I just love the guy. And if you have a problem with your memory, you really should read his book. Well, I would suggest the Page a Minute Memory book. All right, totally, totally awesome. I'm very grateful to President Trump. The time that you can find the interview on Newsmax.com. I can't play it here for copyright reasons. The other stuff is fine that you've already heard. So I encourage you to check it out. And what a privilege indeed. And this is a good time. It's a good time, and I recognize that. I want to enjoy it while it's happening. Too often, we just kind of plow through life, not smelling the roses, as they may say. A couple of things I got going, which I highly recommend. On Instagram a few weeks ago, I heard someone say that if you spend 18 minutes a day doing something, you will be better at that task, whatever it is, in a year than 95% of the population. 18 minutes a day, whatever it is, if you want to draw, if you want to write, if you want to paint, if you want to exercise, if you want to whatever it is, do impressions, who knows, 18 minutes a day, that adds up really quick, really, really quick. And 109 hours a year. That's something you could really change your life. 18 minutes a day. Everybody, almost everybody can find 18 minutes a day, right? So that I'm hot on. I actually have about four different projects that take 18 minutes a day. They're not all going to survive. I'm trying to figure out which one I should really hang on to. I will tell you, one of them is jumping rope. I want to be a better jump roper. I want to do all tricks and stunts and stuff like that. Let's see if that, so far so good. I'm actually improving a great deal. And I find that I don't need 18 minutes. After about eight, after about six, after I get exhausted pretty quick. But anyway, that's going along very well. My running continues. Remember how I started this? Don't compare yourself to anyone else. Compare yourself to who you were yesterday, right? So I started very, very slow, 12-minute miles, and then faster and faster, just a little bit every day. Got it down to about 7 minutes per mile, and then took my pack off and coasted and started running very slow. And anyway, I'm building back up again to get to that 7 minute mile thing. I'm running, I would say, 6 days a week. 6 days a week, yep. And not running particularly fast, just working to get my endurance up. Something else, D'Espresso LeBaire coffee. Don't forget, D'Espresso LeBaire coffee. But augmenting that with cold water. I'm drinking cold water a couple of times a day, and there's some, it's, wow, it's like a miracle tonic. I totally, ooh, it does great things for me, all right? So something to keep in mind. It's helping me a lot. Now, one other thing I wanted to share with you, the kids, they are, ooh, really, really special. You want to hear what they sound like when I go away on a business trip? And my wife, actually, she had a business trip of her own, so we're both leaving them with the babysitter, two kids, and it sounded a little bit like this.
And are she all done?
What?
Are she all done with memory?
When she's done, she's coming back. Yes, I'll bring her home.
Are she all done with Mema and Ray? She calls her grandfather Ray and grandmother Mema. Are she all done? Because that's where my wife was. Let's go to the part where they really are. There, listen to this part.
Kiss. Five. Kiss. Love you guys. Bye, babies. Bye, everybody. Yes.
Are you going to get my mommy? Did you hear that part? Did you hear that part? Are you going to get my mommy? Oh, man. They're amazing. And it's a lot of responsibility, a lot of work, too. But one and three. And I'm told that these are the best times, right? Well, I think they're probably right. Hopefully they're all great times. But hey, listen, I got to go. D'Espresso LeBaire Coffee, thank you. Please, this stuff, freedom does not brew itself. Go to D'Espresso LeBaire, D-E-Espresso LeBaire, LIBER.com, D'Espresso LeBaire.com. Screw Starbucks. Let's go to this family-owned, veteran-operated business, okay? And many, many thanks. Oh, by the way, my book is still available wherever books are sold. It's called Justice for All, How the Left is Wrong About Law Enforcement. And I so appreciate your consideration. To be continued. Thank you.